Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Lilypod episode 155, Encore Marriage, a review of the film Queen Bees. Jeff and Kathy Teichert, on a mission to help single adults intentionally heal from loss to create happy lives and healthy relationships with private and group coaching, courses, and written materials. Visit loveinlateryears.com to discover the many resources we offer. If you enjoy personal growth and enriching relationships, you are in the right place.
Welcome, Lilypod listeners. We want to talk today about Encore Marriages. And this kind of doubles as a film review for the movie Queen Bees. And it's about an older lady who, you know, is dead set against going and living in a home. She wants to be in her own house and to stay there because that's where she raised her kids. That's where she lived with her husband. And he has since passed away. But she ends up in a home and some really interesting things happen. And I'll let Kathy talk a little bit more about that. I find, you know, one completely irrelevant fact, but I guess it's relevant for telling us how old we are. One of the ladies that she becomes friends with in the home is Anne Margaret, who was a girlfriend to the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, which was a day or two ago.
You're talking about the actress?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the actresses, the one that ends up in the hospital. I can't think of what her name in the movie is.
Oh, but yeah. And you'll have to forgive us. We don't have all of their names down. We've got the leading lady, Helen, and then we've got the leading gentleman, Dan. And those are, you know, the primary characters we're going to talk about. We'll kind of refer to their friends a bit. But you can check out this movie on Netflix. And if it's been something you've been wanting to watch, we should warn you, this will give spoiler alerts. So if you don't want to watch it after we've commentated on it, go watch it first and come back. But we'll try not to give everything away, but we're not trying to not talk about the film because obviously it has a lot of points that we felt were pertinent to our audience and to us. And the term Encore Marriage actually comes from this movie, and I loved it as soon as I heard it. I absolutely loved it. And we'll get there, but I think maybe I'll walk you through just kind of a little bit of the storyline. Like Jeff said, this woman did not want to be in a retirement community. It is a romantic comedy set in a retirement community, but it first shows the leading lady dead set against moving. Ultimately, she burns her kitchen.
Her daughter's worried about her making mistakes that could create danger.
She seemed
to
have a particular problem with fire.
Right.
Anyway, she's forced to move during that renovation of her home. And ultimately,
and at first, she's convinced she's only staying a month.
Uh-huh. But then things change. I mean, as her daughter was presenting options, she was getting really upset. And it comes to light that she'd kept her father's the woman, Helen, had kept her daughter's father's illness a secret to try and protect her. And she was saying that the daughter was controlling, but something we noticed is that it seemed almost the other way around, that she had been controlling, trying to manage the emotions of her daughter,
right,
who has said, I was an adult. It's up to me to decide what I can handle. And that's something just to think about as a parent, even, is that sometimes our kids, they want to know the truth.
Well, and if you believe that you can keep a secret from your spouse, because you don't think they can handle the truth, or, you know, I think you're on very dangerous ground when you do that. I mean, that wasn't a major point of the movie, but I think it's something to throw in. Mm-hmm. If you believe you're wise enough to be the keeper of the secret and you can tell what other people can and can't handle, that can get you in a lot of trouble. So,
yeah. So moving on, she ends up in temporarily, you know, so to speak, in Pine Grove, or at least as she thought. And she ended up noticing the clicks very early on. And she loved to play bridge. And she also really loved quotes. And her grandson and her were really close, the son of her daughter that we were talking about. And they would always refer to each quote with who penned it. Like, who was the author? Who was the creator of this quote? Movies, books, you know, famous people, all the stuff. And anyway, I've actually got quite a few quotes from the movie because I thought there was some fun ones. And while she was trying to get into the bridge club and they weren't letting her, even though she plays really well because they were so cliquish. Someone said, they're like Mean Girls, but with medical alert bracelets.
You know, it's funny. I used to be president of a little club called the Utah Seniors Alliance. And we had all sorts of people in there that served senior citizens. I was the attorney. But we had, you know, realtors. We had people in various capacities who helped out seniors in their profession. And we toured a number of these retirement communities. And I liked a lot of them, actually. A lot of times you think of a place that kind of smells like a hospital and looks worse. But go visit sometime Legacy Village in Sugar House. I mean, that place is like a luxury hotel. And I mean, they've got gymnasiums and movie theaters and just, you know, amazing stuff.
Do you think that or Pine Grove is nicer?
Which one is that?
The one in the movie.
I think the one in Sugar House is nicer. But
really?
The Pine Grove in the movie is pretty nice, too.
Oh, I don't know. Like, they've got synchronized swimming and all sorts of stuff.
Right. They got pools and things like that in the Sugar House one that I mentioned, too. But I had a chance to meet with one of the administrators. I can't remember if it was the head honcho or one of the deputies. But anyway, I said, I was joking around, and I said, so do you ever get, you know, people hooking up in here? are there people dating? And he said something like, it is Melrose Place here. And he says, you can't imagine the drama of some of these, you know, 70-year-old people that are jealous of who each other are dating and things like that.
So if any of you younger folks just plan to grow old and figure that as we get older, we're less interested, I don't think that actually happens.
No, I think that...
As a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people, after they lose their spouse, they revert a little bit. And part of that is, you know, it's not good for men to be alone. And so... Anyway, that was just a funny thing I thought of when we saw that movie. But yeah, that's the retirement place I want to move into someday. And a lot of people in that retirement community.
Let's just do it together.
Of course.
Let's not die on each other. Let's just go there together.
Oh, a lot of people do that.
And that's our plan anyway.
And they'll move there while they're still mobile. They're driving cars. They're leaving and going and seeing people now and then, doing other things outside the home. And as they slow down more and more and can't drive, then they're more confined to the campus of where they're at. But anyway, I digress.
Well, actually, in the movie, there's a lot of that going on.
Right.
And we'll touch on some of that. I know at one point, I don't remember exactly the moment, but things have progressed with the Mean Girls and with Helen, and Helen always speaks her mind, and they all are like, wow, you dare to defy the meanest girl there is? And she's like, of course I do. Like, why not? She said, this isn't high school.
Doesn't she at some point say during the movie, not the mean girl, but Helen says to the mean girl, you're a self-righteous bitch, Janet, or something like that.
Yeah, towards the end, I think. And at this point, she's Janet's actually apologizing. And interestingly enough, Janet ends up being a good friend eventually. But there was a point at which she said, "This politics, all of this mean girl stuff, like this isn't high school." And that another friend of hers said, "You're right. It's worse. High school, we graduate. Here, we die." Or fight against it until our last breath.
Yeah, one of the
so what are you going to do? Surrender or fight? And I that's a quote. And I kind of liked it. I was like, it's interesting. If Mel Brooks place, like the geriatric version of the high school version of, you know, all the emotional drama that happens in schools, like what, well, I think Melrose Place is more 20s, but anyway, not the point. The point is, if it's all happening over again, but instead of graduating, you die. Like that's how you end up leaving a retirement community, literally. What are you going to do? Are you going to surrender or fight? And I thought of the community that we have listening here, you know, people who've been divorced, people who have lost loved ones to death. So widows, widowers, people who have been single all their life and have loved and lost in the dating world, or maybe even just haven't had as much chance as they'd like to have. What are you going to do? Are you going to surrender or are you going to fight? And by fight, we don't mean like literally like not fighting energy, but are you going to keep trying?
Right.
Because we never fail until we give up.
Right. Yeah. So if you refuse to give up, you haven't failed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you should all understand President McKay's famous quote, "No other success can compensate for failure in the home." Have Kathy and I failed in the home because we're divorced? You know, we've had some setbacks, but we're still trying and we have made a home together, and that's the home we're trying to succeed in now.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we didn't feel like we had failed,
right,
when we were going definitely through our divorces and afterwards for a long, long time. But looking back, it was never a failure. It was just part of our life journey.
Right.
And we never fail until we stop trying. And I think that was a good point that, like, for as long as you're living, as long as you're drawing air, as long as you are not dead, what are you going to do? That's a good question to ask ourselves. What are we going to do? So moving on, the leading gentleman, Dan, comes along and starts pursuing leading lady, Helen. And all new men, and really even men who have been around a while in the facility, are outnumbered by the women, and the women swarm around them. They're the new men and the current residents are, men are a hot commodity.
You know, the
and I think that would actually be true of most, because
probably is,
women have a longer life expectancy
On average. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On average. Yeah.
The guy who plays Dan, James Caan, I don't know how you pronounce it. I knew him as a child, not personally, but I knew him from the movie Brian's Song, where he plays the professional football player, Brian Piccolo. And you see all about Brian's perseverance and his strength. And, you know, he ends up battling cancer at the end of the movie. And, of course, he's...
Another movie, not the one we're reviewing.
Right. Yeah. And in that movie, he's becomes best friends with the Chicago Bears running back, Brian Piccolo, with Gale Sayers, who is played by Billy Dee Williams, who is none other than... Lando Calrissian in the Star Wars movies. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is he's kind of this lovable character. He's always kind of a sympathetic, well, not always, but most of the time he's kind of a sympathetic character in these movies, and he's a little complicated in this one.
In a good way.
Yeah, he kind of gets paid, and he's kind of taken money to... Because somebody who is it that wants?
So Helen's daughter is a realtor. That's and right. She's got some power in the community. And she says, "You better make sure that my mom is happy here, you know, or else I'm not going to help with this, whatever the thing is."
Right.
And so they took that to mean, oh, well, we really better make her happy. And so they hired this guy, Dan, to come along and show her a good time. But he falls in love with her, and she falls in love with him. And
so
then,
at first he's pretending, but then he actually really does.
I don't think he was ever pretending. He just never told her that he was being paid.
Right.
But later she finds out, and that's a big fiasco. And again, that's the spoiler alert. So I'm sorry if you haven't watched it yet. It is still fun to watch, even if you know.
There's another little twist on the money, but I'll leave that to, you can watch the show to find out what that is.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
I would also say, too, that at the time he plays this role, James Caan is 81 years old.
And a couple of years after they made the film, he passed away.
I think it was only like a year. Anyway, it was not very long.
Which was only a couple years ago anyway.
He was a collegiate football player, and so he had to pretend to let Billy Dee Williams outrun him in that other movie. But he was actually much faster.
And when we say he passed away, we're not talking about the character Dan, but the actor himself.
Yeah, the actor that played him, and he seems healthy in the movie, so...
Yeah.
You get into your 80s and you never know, I guess.
Well, and that's something I noticed in the film is that as we get older, in friendships, in relationships, certainly in marriages, accommodations need to be made for all sorts of things. Dementia, absent-mindedness, like the reason her house was set on fire, accident-prone stuff that happens when our bones are more brittle. Cancer, of course. I mean, and that can affect us at any age.
This is one reason why I think it can be a good idea for an older person or an older couple to move into a facility like that. You know, that's nice and has lots for them to do because we don't want to remember to turn everything off all the time. And, you know, I mean, and it gets harder and harder for people to do that. I hope I'm still many years away from
I think from most that, of but. Us are many years away. I believe that our audience is, I don't know, usually like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe 70s. But like, I think most of us are young enough to be living on our own. But it's definitely like we're going towards that time in which, you know, we have to make decisions. And accommodations aren't just... like how to take care of those things that might come along, like the dementia and the absent-mindedness and the accident proneness and whatnot, but also within relational dynamics, like just being more patient with ourselves and with each other in general.
Right.
So when it's revealed that Dan was hired to show Helen a good time, and he hadn't told her, you know, she expressed, I gave you my heart and you withheld the full truth from me. And she wasn't convinced that he'd really fallen in love with her, even when he told her that he had. And there was a point at which he said, it was funny. He said, when I go back, by God, I want to go. Like, if you won't have me, like, mm-hmm. And she's like, was that from Gone from the, with the Wind? And he's like, yeah. So he basically, I think he got her with like one of the little quirky things that she did, which was all those quotes with her grandson, which was really cute. But I think what really convinced her was when he gave back all the money.
Right.
And he didn't even tell her because she wouldn't talk to him. She was so mad. But she went and her mean girlfriend coaxed out the information from the administrator who said, I can't tell you. I can't tell you where he lives. I can't tell you what happened. And she's like, you're going to tell us. And they did tell her. And then she found out he'd given back the money. She's like, oh, I think he really did mean it.
Yeah. You know, one of the younger women in their group of friends there does get cancer, and it seems like it's fairly serious. They don't follow that through in the movie, but it made me think, you know, I remember when I was a missionary, you know, 19 to 21 were the years I was out, and that was in the mid to late 80s, 86 to 88. And I think at that time, I mean, I'd lost one grandparent And I was close to him, and that was sad, but that was really my only major loss in life so far. And it just seemed to me, I think, by then that life was going to be one endless summer, and that I was always going to be young and vigorous. And I didn't really think hard about the things that we have to think more about as we age. And, you know, I've lost several people that are important to me since that time. And you wonder, before that happens, how you can ever be happy after you've lost a parent, or, heaven forbid, a child, or, you know, a brother or sister, or someone really close to you, in whatever capacity. And I think one of the things that movie kind of got me thinking about was, we're all gonna be old someday if we're lucky enough to live into old age, and ultimately we're all gonna die. And so, what do we do with the time that we have here as it grows shorter and shorter every day? And one of the things I think this movie kind of presented to me, the idea of the encore marriage, was, you know, your spouse isn't here anymore, but
there's still life left to live.
That you are, and there's life left to live. And Walter Matthau says to Jack Lemmon in the movie Out to Sea, they're brothers-in-law in that movie, but anyway, Jack Lemmon says to Walter Matthau, you know, his wife, I think it was, I can't remember what her name was, but he says, she's not here anymore. And Walter Matthau says, yes, but you are. So live your life. That's why they invented death. And
that's why they invented death.
And his idea was, you know, yeah, once you're dead, stop living, but don't stop living until then. Mm-hmm. And you get the idea from these older people that they're all trying to find their way through that as they're living in this pretty nice retirement community and making
friends.
Knowing
their time is limited, but it's still there.
Right.
Yeah, and I do have to say, I think that life is way too short to ever lie to someone that you really love. And as he was falling in love with her, he should have told her sooner. Because it was worse when she found out another way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And after she found out that he had resigned, moved out, gave back all his compensation, she went after him because she had been so mad at him. But she realized, oh, I think he actually was really being sincere, even though she didn't like that he hadn't been honest. But it did make sense that at some point it just became very difficult for him to tell her, like, oh, well, I was hired to come, you know,
cheer you up. And
because it sounds really bad.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't meant to be love. It's just what happened.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so her mean girl, Queen Bee, Janet, asked, well, what are you going to say? And she said, I'm going to tell him that I love him and I pray that he feels the same way about me still. And then I'm going to kiss his face and ask him if he still wants to marry me. It was so cute.
Well, and, you know, she says something kind of insightful earlier in the movie along those lines, too. She says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she says, you know, so-and-so, whatever her late husband's name was, I can't think of it, because he was the love of my life, but I'm finding I have a lot of feelings for, was it Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for Dan. And, you know, he's pretty great too. And something like, I think, you know, maybe that's an opportunity to have another love, something like that. And I think, you know, there's a tendency for many older people to kind of fade into the rocking chair when their spouse dies. And I don't know, I've always thought that it was kind of nice when they found love again. There was
or even a passion for a hobby or something that like gives them fulfillment.
Right.
I mean, I think any number of things, but the encore marriage is a really poignant part of the movie. And we're not quite there yet, but I want to get there.
By the way, my mother's great uncle, Evan Larson, my grandfather's brother, older brother, got married when he met someone he met at a nursing home when he was 95.
Oh, I remember that.
And they got married and they moved out together and they had a couple of years before he passed on. But
why'd they move out? Why not stay?
Well, it wasn't the nicest place, I guess, in the area where they lived. It wasn't.
They were upgrading together.
Yeah, and they went and moved into one of their older houses. You get the idea that you saw them together and they were all lovey-dovey and doing PDA and stuff like that.
That's so cute.
And you think, how many people are 40 or 50 years old and constantly griping at their spouse, and here's this older couple in their 90s that are, really newlywed, lovey-doveyness. And, they hadn't given up on life yet. They felt like there was more of it to live. And
now that's
I admire
a serious that. Encore marriage.
Yep.
So as part of this process of Helen pursuing Dan and basically wanting this encore marriage with him, she's thinking back to when her husband was sick, and about 2 weeks before he died, he said, "Well, honey, it doesn't look like I'm going to make it. You've got a lot of life left in you, and I want you to live every minute of it and be happy." That was really sweet. And she said that when she was contemplating whether to keep her home or stay in the retirement community, she could hear his voice. She could hear her late husband's voice. "Time to let go, sweetheart."
Right.
Like he was giving her counsel from the heavens and encouraging her to move on with her life.
Right.
And it was right around this time that she reconciles with her daughter, who she said she started to realize that she had estranged her daughter after the loss of her husband, the girl's father. And that part of the reason they had been clashing is because when she lost her husband, she didn't know how to stay a mom to her.
Right.
And support her through her own grief and her loss. And I think it is interesting to note that when we lose loved ones, and as many of you know, if you've been following us very long, we've lost quite a few loved ones in the last couple of years. It always gives us an opportunity to choose how to handle the change, the transition. Are we going to focus on the people who are still here and needing our love? Are we going to choose to focus on our grief and get lost in it?
Right.
And that is kind of, it wasn't the main point of the movie, but I think it's worth thinking about.
And I'm sorry that I don't remember the name, but the woman, the character played by Anne Margaret,
Helen with the reddish hair.
Yeah, and she has this romance with with the old mad scientist from Back to the Future. I can't think of that actor's name, but
and he's the one with dementia.
Right, and she figures out that he has dementia, and that's why he forgets her name. And she goes into his home in their community, and he's got post-it notes everywhere reminding him of who people are and things like that, reminding him to turn things off. And, you get this idea that she just kind of adores him anyway. And even though she knows he's on a descent into the abyss, she kind of, I think, decides that, well, he is who he is for now, and that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny so Dan and Helen get engaged and they ultimately get married. And so this is leading up to the marriage of Helen and Dan. The main leads, and that mad scientist from Back to the Future, that actor, with dementia, is playing the organ, And it's terrible.
Not well, but
oh, it's terrible. I'm like, oh gosh, they'd be better off without music. I mean, as a string quartet musician who I've played for hundreds of weddings, I was just like, oh yeah, it would be way better for silence to have happened than that it was bad, but it was cute.
It was a way to involve him, I guess.
Yeah. And then what's really crazy is that the biggest mean girl that she had the most problems with performed their wedding.
The one she called a bitch.
Uh-huh. Performed their mm-hmm. wedding ceremony and did an amazing job. In fact, most of my quotes to end this podcast are going to be from her. So as soon as they get to the front, that terrible organ music stops playing, but everybody's smiling and everybody's happy and very excited for them. Janet says, "We're blessed today to celebrate an encore wedding. Encore means again. And despite the loss of loved ones and all the pain that life has thrown at them, these two stand before us, having found love again." Oh, that just gave me chills. Like, I love that quote. And that's the first time I'd ever even heard of or considered the term encore marriage.
Right.
I mean, of all the years we've been doing this, it had never crossed my mind. And really, ultimately the reason why I wanted to do this podcast. She goes on and she says, "And in finding love again, they remind us all that it's never too late. It's never too late to find friends, to tell the truth, to laugh a little, to find home, to take risks, and to say to each other, I love you. Today we celebrate the power of love. You can have it. Let's see. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Love has no expiration date, no sell-by date, none of that crap. And let's face it, 80s are the new 18.
Well, you know, my dad's 81 and he still runs a business and travels all over consulting. And so I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah, but I love that. 80s are the new 18. So mm-hmm. whoever you are, wherever you're listening, you're young.
Right.
I mean, as long as you've got life left in you, you're young. And, at the reception, it was cute. She said, he said, "I want to grow old with you." And she said, "You are old with me." And it reminded us of a comment. So there's this really cute episode on Modern Love. If you've ever watched Modern Love, I think it's a Prime thing. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we've watched it, but there was this really cute episode of this older couple who find each other in later in life. And I don't remember if it was who it was that said it, but he said, at our age,
it was the husband.
I think it was him.
His name was Ken.
"At our age, till death do we part, isn't that big of a commitment."
Right.
Anyway, it's episode 8. That's a sweet love story. And that older couple is really charming, and they envelop really what Lily is all about, as I think do Dan and Helen in a lot of ways. The cultivating of intentional joy, embracing love, and finding new beginnings at any age.
Yeah. I mean, why not take all of that? And I'm saying this to people that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, as well as the older people, that why not take all that life experience that you have, everything you've learned, everything you've gained, even the things you've learned by suffering, and use that to go forward and build something beautiful. And, you know, you might be married for 20, 30, 40 years. You might only be married for 2, like my great uncle. But at the end of the day, that's 2 more years of happiness that he got.
Companionship,
love, that he might not have had if he was just waiting it out in a rest home by himself. So,
yeah. So thank you for listening. We're glad to have you here. I hope you enjoyed our commentary on the film Queen Bees. If you enjoy what you heard and you want to watch it yourself, it's charming. I did leave out some details intentionally so that you could still enjoy some surprises if you decide to go watch that on Netflix.
Right.
And anyway, so keep in mind, encore marriage. I do believe it's kind of like when you think about like your favorite, your musical group, or even just anything you hear that's wonderful, and you there you give a standing ovation because you want more. You want more of it.
Right.
Now, some of us have had bad experience with relationships, and we don't want more, but we might want something different. So that's the thing about an encore marriage. You could be clapping and wanting more of what you didn't have before.
Right.
Or you could be clapping and wanting, meaning like you want another group to come on stage, because you're really never going to have what you had before. It's always going to be different with somebody new. And so if you had a good experience, let's say you lost your spouse to death, you would have stayed married, but they're gone. That doesn't mean you can't have something wonderful with someone else. Same thing if you got divorced and you had a terrible time of it. It doesn't mean you can't have a wonderful future.
Right.
Well,
we're living proof of that too.
The encore marriage is, we're going to try again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means that you're still holding on to hope, and that's a great thing. So folks, take what you've learned, move ahead, develop something beautiful, and remember that any time is a great time for more love in your life. Thank you for listening.
For a customized roadmap to your desired destination, schedule a free 20-minute coaching consult at loveinlateryears.com. We are here to support you.